are falling into place. Series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress. This morning, we focus on Albany Fund for Education, and we welcome Catherine Bamberger, who is Executive Board Member of the Albany Fund for Education, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her back to the program. How
Thank
are you?
Thank you very much. I'm well. Nice to see you.
Well, it's good to see you. I appreciate you being here, and I will start with the most obvious of the questions I have for you, which is, what is the Albany Fund for Education? What should we know about it?
Okay. Well, the fund is a grassroots not-for-profit organization founded to build connections between the Albany City Public Schools and the community and to support enrichment initiatives in the city school district. Trying to enhance opportunities for students to learn, grow, and succeed within the City School District of Albany.
So how did it come about?
It was founded about 20 years ago by Teresa Vaughn, who was a parent and a community organizer, and really believed that high-quality public education is fundamental to an equitable civil society and shouldn't be limited by socioeconomics. And so by building community partnerships, raising funds, investing in innovative and effective programs and projects, we help to build equity and strengthen the educational infrastructure of the school district.
So how is that infrastructure strengthened? I mean, how do you go about doing that? How do we see that? How do we know that mm-hmm. is ultimately happening?
Well, like a lot of city school districts, the city of Albany suffers from a high level of poverty, and the median income in the city is about $43,000, which leaves 24% of the city population living below the poverty rate at $25,000. And you've had other organizations on the program, so these numbers shouldn't be totally unfamiliar. But the impact that has on students can be everything from having experiences that give them a wider context of experiences to connect their learning, getting out into the world and having firsthand experiences with art and history and nature, and then also potential first-generation college students never have stepped on campus, both locally and a little bit further away. There's housing insecurity, there's food insecurity, and some other programs, community eligibility for school-based meals, summer meals programs that starts to address some of that. But we are looking to help extend some of the programs that already exist and help cover some gaps.
Who comes to you looking for money, in the sense of when do they knock on your door and say help?
We like to call them the spark plugs. Almost all of our programs are require a teacher to be the spark plug. We have given about $320,000 to educator-driven projects. And we also ask that they connect with a community partner.
So I'm going to take a step back here. I've been on a library board for a long time. So and we have what is referred to as the Friends of the Library.
Yes.
So there's an outside organization separate from the board that we look to and say, oh, we need a new coffee pot. Let's see if the Friends will get us a new coffee pot. So in some way, with more important ramifications than a new Keurig. That's essentially what this is, right? Where teachers will say, well, this is something I don't have in the school district's budget, but I can look at the Albany Fund for Education and see if they can help us out.
Absolutely. And a lot of ours are micro-grants. They're under $1,000.
Yep.
It's things that teachers often would take a collection maybe in the faculty room, or they would pay for it out of pocket.
Yeah.
They might connect with some of their friends and family, and this gives them another opportunity, because really they shouldn't be asked. In no other profession are you asked to fund your own projects the way that teachers are.
No, that's right. And they want to do it, so sometimes they'll throw it in and do it, but this is a way of making that better.
Right.
When you talk about community partners, so I find this interesting. So is it, if I'm a teacher, Joe, and I want to do this project in my class, and I'm asking for $1,000, and then you will say, okay, we'll see if you can find somebody in the community. So what is my responsibility in that, and what type of person am I looking for?
A lot of times the partners are already in the school system, or already in the schools. They're doing various projects, but maybe they have something special that they want to do, and it's outside of a budget cycle, or it's outside of their exact scope. or the school is not an eligible applicant for a grant from a foundation, for example. So what we do is we just, you know, if the teacher has an idea and they don't already have a partner, we try to connect them with a community organization that has that subject area or topic in their scope of interest, and then try to connect the two.
Oh, I was having a conversation. I have a lot of school teachers in my life who are family members who are wonderful school teachers in our region. And one of the things we were talking about, things that are different from us going to school to kids going now. And one of the things that is harder are field trips.
Absolutely.
Field trips, I see that this is one of the things that you would fund.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another one of those things that in high poverty districts, you know, asking families to kick in $15, $20 and more sometimes to fund a field trip becomes really limiting and prohibitive, and the transportation is often a really big expense. So along with other organizations, we have funded field trips to not only just local museums, and we ask them to consider, you know, what can you do within walking distance? What can you do within the CDTA? Because sometimes that adventure on the bus for some students becomes part of the activity. And it's building life skills, and it's all kinds of good stuff. And it's very reasonable. And CDTA has been a great community partner as well. But then sometimes they have to go a little bit further afield. And we have one project that we funded where students who are part of the AVID program, which is a college and career prep program, sort of their culminating activity was to take a trip out to Syracuse and visit Lemoyne College, which, you know, was a great experience for a lot of those kids. They were really excited about it.
One of the other things on here, which I think is terrific, is that if you want to have a speaker in, you want to have an author in, you want to have somebody who, say, you're doing reading a book and you want to have that author in who is local and has, this is a way of making that happen as well.
Right, absolutely. And some of the local bookstores like Marketplace Books or in Stuyvesant Plaza, when they have authors come in, they will very often share opportunities to have them come and visit the schools. But sometimes they're coming in between and they're not stopping in Albany. And we actually recently funded a visit by Aisha Saeed to come to Albany High, a Pakistani-American author, which is, again, another great opportunity to highlight, you know, women of color who are authors. And with our population within our school district, it's good for them to see a variety of authors and performers and artists coming into the school and coming to them, obviously coming into the building is a lot easier logistics wise.
So speaking of reading, you have a feed and read program. So what is that? How does that take place? And ultimately, how is it funded? Because this goes over quite a long period of time.
It sure does. So 37 million people, I think your previous speaker said 40 million people are affected by hunger in the United States, 11 million of whom are children. And that's about a 1 in 5 statistic nationally. And that holds true in New York State. Out of that number, about 450,000 students participate in a weekend backpack program. So 21 million students that qualify for free and reduced lunch at school. They may get 2, sometimes 3 meals at school. But then what happens when they go home for the weekends?
Right.
That's where the backpack programs come in. The difference with our program is we partner with HADIS, the Homeless and Travelers Aid Society, and Grassroots Givers to not only provide non-perishable foods, but also to give each child a book. And that way, literacy rates are a challenge, and owning a book is a strong corollary with increased literacy rates. And so we really believe that giving a child an opportunity to not only get a book, but to choose their own book is really instrumental in their growth.
I just want people to be aware that when we're talking about a backpack program, we're talking about a program that allows kids, they have a backpack, but they it's what's in it. It's the food that they may not have access to if they are food insecure, the food that they will have access to over the weekend in the time that they're not in school.
Absolutely. And so last year we had about 640 children who were served. So that's 640 families that were served because when the children bring the bag of food home for the weekend, they're obviously sharing it with their family members as well. And it's a tough program to sustain. It's about $300 a student for 30 weeks of backpacks. And we purchase the food through the regional food bank, and we have a lot of volunteers, but there is still an actual cost where we actually have to purchase that food. And then we also provide them with coupons to be able to get fresh milk and fresh eggs. And it's something that a lot of the families really look forward to, but it's a real challenge to keep it sustainable.
One of the things that I found interesting in reading your statistics is that you help all of these kids, but there's many more kids that you could be helping.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, we had to cut back a little bit this year, and we're serving about 100 fewer children than we were last year, and so that's why we've initiated a couple of new fundraising initiatives to try to get people to do ongoing gifts of $25 a month and commit to 3 years so that we can maintain the level of service a little more consistently. We do get some funding by some community partners. We have some donated warehouse space, lots of volunteers that help assemble the backpacks and deliver them. But, you know, the real costs are still ongoing, and we really appreciate the folks that can commit to something that's in a longer term.
You had a fundraiser for the program just over the weekend?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was great. It was at our newly reopened Madison Theater and Ward 13 council member, and who was also our board president, Jenny Farrell, and friends put together a trip through the decades with some dancing and some music. Live band, and we raised enough money to add about a dozen or so kids back into the program.
We have about a minute left, so how can people help? What's the easiest way for people to help you?
Well, we do have our annual gala, which is our major fundraising event. That's on October 23rd. We're also a CIFA participant, so for all of the folks who participate in the CIFA campaign, you can certainly add us onto your distribution list, and then online at www.thealbanyfundforeducation.org. And you can also mail a check to P.O. Box 3110 in Albany at 12203.
The Albany Fund for Education.org for more information. The Albany Fund for Education.org. That link will be along with a link to this interview on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. wamc.org/roundtable. Catherine Bamberger is executive board member of the Albany Fund for Education. Catherine, I can't thank you enough for the beautiful work that you do in our community and making sure all of this happened and all the trains run on time. And I thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for having us.
Wonderful to have you here. Thank you.
Take care.
Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress.